See, many people are waiting for politicians to lead us. That doesn't happen. It did not happen in the past. It has always to start with scholars, and then with the masses, and then with the leaders. كما تكونوا يولى عليكم. As you are, you will be led. So there must be a movement among the masses first. Who would do the movement among the masses? It is the scholars.
From his earliest days, Salahuddin al-Ayyubi was nurtured with a love for knowledge and the ulama, to the extent that at a stage, the pursuit of Islamic knowledge became his greatest aspiration.
He was a Shafi in fiqh, and he memorized Kitab al-Tanbih of the Shafi school of fiqh. You ask me, how many Hanafi ulama are sitting in the gathering? How many of them know one matan of a Hanafi text? Salahuddin memorized it all. And his greatest aspiration in life was to become a scholar. He loved the scholars. Throughout his life, the men that he respected the most were the ulama.
He wanted to be with the ulama. You know, this was a young man. As a young man, he was very much into sitting with the ulama, learning from the ulama, talking to the ulama. And even when he became the general and the king, he was surrounded by the ulama. In fact, some of his biographers, one of them, the top biographer of Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, is a man called Bahauddin ibn Shaddad, who was a sheikh, who was a scholar, who advised Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi on matters. So every time something happened, he would turn to the shuyukh. He would turn to scholars. What do you want me to do here? You know?
He always gave a kind reception to the shuyukh and all learned and gifted men, and spent generously on them. He was no stranger to scholarly sittings of hadith. He was keen to spend some time alone with ulama who were close to him and have some beneficial knowledge imparted to him. He was likewise eager for his children to grow up respecting ulama and knowledge, and would let them accompany him to scholarly sittings. However, beyond this outward manifestation of love and reverence for ulama, Salahuddin Ayyubi, rahimahullah, also respected their input enough to rope them in to decision-making committees and the highest levels of his administration. The wazirs and amirs in his state were senior scholars, the most famous of whom was his wazir, scribe and consultant, Al-Qadi Al-Fadil, or the virtuous judge, Abdul Rahim ibn Ali, of whom Salahuddin said, "I did not conquer any land by my sword, rather, it was by the advice of Al-Qadi Al-Fadil." Al-Fadil was renowned for his literary style and prolific pen. He was Salahuddin's chief scribe and dispatcher of all official letters. He was also the administrator of Salahuddin's military department and was in charge of selecting ulama, imams and teachers to serve at various institutions. Al-Qadi Al-Fadil had served in Egypt since the days of Asad ad-Din Shirku and was hence acutely aware of the makeup of the Fatimid state. He leveraged this insider knowledge to plot the demise of the Fatimid state and uncover conspiracies targeting Salahuddin. He planted spies for the protection of Salahuddin's rulership and reorganized the new administration to remove hostile elements. On a personal level, this alim was very enthusiastic about establishing awqaf to free prisoners and establishing madaris for the poor. He was steadfast in reciting the Quran and lived a very simple life. Al-Qadi Al-Fadil strove hard by means of a comprehensive Sunni plan to put an end to the factors of division in the Muslim world, protect Egypt from Crusader invasion, and take back Palestine. He saw Salahuddin al-Ayyubi as someone who shared his vision. Hence, he put all his knowledge, experience, and administrative, literary, and poetic skills at the Sultan's disposal. Al-Qadi al-Fadil was also the spokesperson for Salahuddin and was nearer to him than his own family and children. He was his right-hand man, and Salahuddin never embarked on any move without engaging in mashwara with him. His letters to Salahuddin are teeming with golden advices and foresight. Once, when Salahuddin confided in him that he felt his efforts on the battlefield were inadequate, Al-Qadi al-Fadil wrote back saying, "Allah will not ask the doer about the completion of his action, because that is beyond his control. But he will ask him about his intention, because that is what matters with regards to matters of obedience. And he will ask him about whether he did his utmost within his abilities." Al-Qadi al-Fadil joined Salahuddin on most of his jihad expeditions and stayed with him right until his demise. The departure of Salahuddin left this great scholar devastated, and whilst he continued dispensing nasiha to leaders, he generally grew despondent with the deterioration of leadership after the icon's passing. In addition to Al-Qadi al-Fadil, Salahuddin also took into his confidence and benefited from several other leading ulama of the time, including Abu Tahir al-Salafi, Abu Tahir al-Iskandari, Abdullah ibn Abi Asrun, and Isa al-Hakari. An equally unique feature of Salahuddin's leadership was the way he promoted and supported the people of Tasawwuf. He established the first Sufi Khanqah in Egypt, which was devoted especially to the poor Sufis who came from all over the world. Historians mention that Khanqahs were not known to Egypt prior to this time. Many Uqaf were established to support them, and a sheikh was appointed to administer their affairs. Salahuddin provided the Sufis with bread, meat and sweets every day, and allocated for each 40 dirhams annually for clothing. He constructed a bathhouse for them, and if any wanted to travel, money was to be made available to enable them to reach their destination. Wherever Salahuddin went and halted, he built Sharia schools and khanqahs side by side. At the same time, the Sufis and the ulama joined Salahuddin together in jihad and formed an integral part of his army. Salahuddin would like to take the Sufi scholars along with him in expeditions, so that he could seek their opinions and consult them. Furthermore, their presence was regarded as a strong incentive for their followers to fight with courage. Dr. Ali Salabi considers Salahuddin's promotion of the Sufis to also serve a strategic purpose. The Fatimids prior to him had not succeeded in changing the beliefs of most Egyptians. However, they had managed to infiltrate society by influencing emotions, by expressions of joy on celebrations of birthdays of members of the Ahlul Bayt, and expressions of grief and weeping in Muharram, and commemorations for the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein. The Sunni Sufis were the antidote to this, as they appealed to the spiritual emotions through exhortations and dhikr in a wholesome way. Hence, another reason for Salahuddin's patronage of this group. Salahuddin was a man of Sharia, Tariqa and Jihad. A letter penned by his close confidant, the renowned scholar Qadi al-Fadil, congratulating him for attending lessons in the Muwatta of Imam Malik, reads of him: "Praise be to Allah, who has made his days either of two types, a day when he sheds the blood of the inkpot under his pen, or a day when he sheds the blood of the disbeliever under his banner. In the former, he is seeking the hadith of Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thus making the hadith prominent and visible. And in the latter case, he is striving to support his guidance over misguidance, thus making misguidance disappear."